This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Welcome back to the Mizzou Sports Podcast. I know it's been a while since we've done the last one, just like the one before that. But this time we bring you some good news. Last time we podcast, we talked about the firing of Konzo Martin. Kind of a different day for Mizzou Athletics, but now it's a different day for the Columbia Daily Tribune. With me, I have the new Mizzou beat writer, Matt Stahl. He's in his second week on the job, and he's already done a great job so far. Welcome, Matt. Welcome to Columbia. I know we've already welcomed you in your own way, but welcome
again. Thank you. Glad to be here. I thought you said you were going to give him good news. Like, when's the good news? We're still waiting on the good news.
What? I mean, good news for me. I don't know. I like having a podcast co-host. Looks good to me, but Matt. I know we'll get into a little bit about Matt, where he comes from, and all the good stuff, too. But we're just so happy to have him here. We're hoping that the podcast can take a new fun direction, too, with Matt under his leadership. This is going to be his baby. I'll continue to be his co-host. I'll come on and have my terrible takes, and you can listen to me ramble about how miserable Notre Dame and the Bears make me. So, but for right now, we're going to jump into a few things so you guys can get to know Matt a little bit more. What do you say? We got 10 questions that we had submitted by a mailbag. Shout out to photojournalist Madeline Carter, helped me put that together for this specific episode of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. You ready?
Yeah.
10 burning questions.
Let's go.
10 burning questions for Matt. First off, and this is ranging from a lot of personal questions to also some that submitted questions about Mizzou athletics. We're not going to get to all of them. Thank you for whoever did submit. I appreciate you. I know there's ones like, you know, thoughts on the thicker kicker burger. You haven't had that yet, right?
No, I've not. And honestly, after Googling it, it's a lot. And see, my thoughts are, it's a lot. I don't know that I'm going to order one.
Frankly, I thought the same thing, but I tried it. I think at the time when we talked about it, it was like a one and done, you know, like the Zion Williamson burger is like, it's good. It's big. Yeah. It's very hefty, but I probably wouldn't order it. But any case, question number one. How are you liking Missouri so far? Also, where are you from?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, originally. I've been in Louisville, Kentucky the last couple of years covering horse racing. I'm liking Missouri. It's good. I'm unbelievably happy to be back on Central Time because I spent about 2 years on Eastern Time, and it's awful. Everything's bad. Like, there's no reason basketball games should start at 10:30 p.m. It's just, yeah. Yeah, set God's time zone back here.
God's time zone also, I mean, it's also much better for watching stuff like Pac-12 after dark.
Yes.
And specifically, I was on Mountain Time, and that was a lot of fun because games would start at 6 o'clock and get over by 9. And you're like, I can go to bed early. Look at this. I can get 8 hours. That never happened because I'm a degenerate. So, anyway, moving on. Number two, also going into what do you like about Columbia so far? What's been the favorite thing to do around town?
I went out to, is it Grindstone Nature Area? Yeah, went out, had a real good hike there. I'm a hiker. I hate running is the deal, so I walk to stay in shape because I get the same feeling that I did after running, but like my knees don't hurt. So yeah, shout out to Grindstone. It's a good spot to walk.
Yeah, I think you're going to find that there's a few, I would say, like some other good places around, too. If you're like Lake of the Ozarks, I've been there. Beautiful place to go. A lot of other cool stuff to visit. So nice to hear that. You're staying a lot more fit than I am, that's for sure. And going on to number three, going into the food section of the questions, the favorite place you've eaten yet in Columbia, Missouri?
Sub Shop so far. Really like Sub Shop. Had that for lunch yesterday. Yeah, got the Philly cheesesteak. Was pretty good. Had the cheese whiz on it. I was all about it.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, honestly, I was expecting Booch's.
I like Booch's. Booch's was good. I didn't like it as much as the Sub Shop.
There you have it. Yeah. Not a hot take because Sub Shop is very good. But this is the next question. I know we talked about this before, and this will maybe upset some people. Which is your favorite pizza place in Columbia?
Emo's. It's Emo's. Provel Supremacy. Yeah, my mom's from the St. Louis area, so like I had it growing up. I'm a big fan. I think St. Louis is the best regional pizza, like point blank period. It's like the best pizza you can get in the United States. And yeah, thrilled to be back in Columbia where we have a location.
And there you have it. That is a hill to die on if I've ever heard one. So before we get any more hot takes on food, let's go to your favorite sports teams, which is the next question.
Yeah. NFL, Green Bay Packers is like the family team for my dad. I like the Tennessee Titans too, growing up there. But at one point, my grandma threatened me. And I was like, I think I like the Titans more than the Packers. And she's like, no, you don't. Absolutely, you don't. She's like threatening to write me out the will. I'm young at this point, so yeah, I'm Green Bay Packers.
Okay, as a Bears fan, I just know that comes with, you basically own my franchise. So
yeah, and nothing else. It's been they've won a Super Bowl during my lifetime, and I still associate cheering for them with just endless pain.
Oh, same.
Just wasting incredible starting quarterbacks.
Well,
yeah. Sad times. When other teams, big Nashville Predators fan in hockey, Chicago Cubs. My dad grew up Chicago suburbs, so I picked that one up, I guess, because Nashville doesn't have a baseball team.
Yeah. Yet, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'm just speaking because I remember the whispers of a MLB team coming to Vegas were prevalent. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before that, but yeah. But as a White Sox fan, I have to contractually obligated to say, hey, we beat the Cubs yesterday. Anyway.
Everybody beats the Cubs. No, it's
now,
no big feat.
Now, yeah. About 2 years ago, that wasn't the case.
True.
Then going a little bit more of a personal question, I know why did you choose to cover Mizzou?
I mentioned I was covering horse racing. Yeah. Yeah, the athletes can talk. Yeah. That's a big deal. No, I love SEC sports. I love college sports in general. It's what I spend most of my time on when I'm not doing anything else is consuming college sports, particularly college football content. So I figure, why not try to make some stuff I like myself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this goes into the next one for Mizzou fans. We have to, it's a yes or no question, but have you listened to We Are Mizzou by The Fifth Down?
Yes. Yes, sadly, my ears have been cursed. We were talking about this in the group chat last night about what the worst of those late 2000s, early 2010s college basketball anthems, which there were far too many of, was the worst. We Are Mizzou is not like the very bottom rung because of Teach Me How to Jimmer. Exists.
Yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, even after in Utah for 2 years where there are, I mean, this isn't legit, but there are statues of Jimmer in every single Utah city going all the way from southern all the way to northern Utah. That actually surprises me. I've never heard of that, Teach Me How to Jimmer, because I don't know exactly what goes into it, but I'm surprised that you think We Are Mizzou is below that.
No, I think We Are Mizzou's better than that one.
Oh, period.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Yeah. Wait, Teach Me How to Jimmer was awful. And it's like have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's just some guy turned Teach Me How to Dougie into Teach Me How to Jimmer, and they did about the worst dancing and just this atrocious low-budget music video of them just wearing Jimmer jerseys. Hmm. Yeah, it's awful. Don't listen to it.
Okay.
Well, the best one, and this is not, I'm not a Kentucky fan. Don't come at me just because I've been in Kentucky and saying this. Do the John Wall is like a banger. Like that song rocks. And that was kind of the same era too. So the bar was set. Yeah, we are Mizzou's bad, but it's certainly not the worst there though.
Okay, I'm sure Fifth Down can respect can respect it. But moving into a little bit more about current Mizzou athletics in general, especially when it comes to football. Obviously, we've got three, four months away from football season. We're heading into a summer where we're still figuring out the fine tuning parts of the roster, and we'll get into that a little bit later on the podcast too. But this eighth question I thought was interesting. What is your SEC power ranking for football? Is Mizzou in the top five? And I think we're going to limit this to the SEC East, just because I don't know if they're in the top five of the SEC right now.
No. Yeah, the answer is no. They're not in the top five. Yeah, we can power rank the East. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. I worked on this. I sat and thought about this a little bit. So the East, Georgia, obviously, who I don't think is like as good as Alabama this year, but you're going to win the East, I think. Kentucky, second. You got your quarterback coming back. You got a lot of guys coming back, actually. And it's a similar kind of pro-style offense to what they were running. So mm-hmm. they should not threaten Georgia at all, but still be second in the East. Tennessee, you got your QB coming back. It'll at least be fun. I think they benefit from Florida still being down to make it to the third spot, which brings me to Florida, who I don't think they're like going to be like really, really awful, but I don't think they're going to be that good either. Like it's definitely a rebuilding year for them. If what they're doing is actually rebuilding this time around, we'll see. Then it's tricky because I'd say Mizzou like goes there probably, but it depends on South Carolina. Like, if South Carolina seems like they're a prime kind of regression candidate, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, it does.
But like I don't know what a like in the era of the portal and stuff, like, is that still as much of a concern that just like you overachieved with the talent you had one season? Because like it changes more. You can bring in more talent,
right?
So I'd say Mizzou, then South Carolina, and then Vanderbilt.
Yeah, we no introductions to
say. Yeah, no, Vanderbilt. I don't think they're winning an SEC game this year. If they do, they should storm the field.
That, well,
all 18 of the fans in the stands.
I mean, after losing to what was it, East Tennessee State last year?
Yes,
I think that it's like, okay, well, yep. There's nowhere you can go up. I'm a big Clark Lee fan, obviously, for obvious reasons. Love the guy, but he got a lot of work.
Yeah, I just remember last year, like, there was a group of weird brain internet college football folks going to the Vandy UConn game, who discovered that while the ticket to the Vandy UConn game was $3 on whatever, like, back like aftermarket prices, the parking pass was like $25.
So you paid more to park than you did to watch the game?
Yes, yes. The market demand says people are demanding not to go to the game, but just to park next to the football stadium.
Huh. That, wow. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
That not checks out, but that's a little surprising.
Yeah.
But in any case, I will refute a little bit of that because obviously I in my top five, what mirrors it a little bit is Georgia then Kentucky.
Okay.
I by the day, especially after the NFL draft, I'm becoming more and more of a Will Levis fan because I like how he runs. Yeah. And if he throws any better than he did last year, then they're winning 8 games. Like, you really don't have to do that much. Georgia, obviously, I know it's how many other defenders got drafted? It was like a 10 or 11 of their defensive players last year got drafted in the NFL draft this past weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, but that's also a lot of players you got to.
That's true. They've also hit that just absolute Death Star recruiting level where like it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
They've got other guys.
And there's got to be someone that like didn't start, on the defensive line that's like, okay, like, sure, you have like N'Kobe Dean and that kind of stuff, but there's probably someone behind them being like, yeah, I'm next. Cool. Yeah. So obviously Georgia is there. They're winning it. Kentucky's right next. I'd say the toss up for three, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It also really depends on how much better Mizzou's defense is under Blake Baker. And I think that's the key, only because I know there's a, like you mentioned in the era of the portal, how many different players can come in and you can just add to it. I really think that Mizzou has his chance to fight for that third spot. And I think a lot of it comes down to whether or not the pass rush can stay consistent and can stay healthy, but also what a guy like Tyrone and Tyron Hopper, two guys that they brought in. Okay. Like those kinds of players that have played Power 5 football before.
Sure.
How do they come into the fold of this defense? Because they can, I mean, if they can come in and play well, then you're like, okay, they're not, they're already replacing holes in the defense. They're not fighting for spots. Those guys are entrenched and they're also really good players. So the defense is improved.
Yeah.
I could see them fighting for third. But also, I think Tennessee, I mean, building off of what they had last year, I could see them going for 8-9 wins too.
Yeah.
And then after that, I like South Carolina a lot. I think they're a really fun team, especially when Spencer Rattler comes in. You're just kind of like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's enough to get past the likes of Tennessee, which is really, I mean, really fast, really quick. And then you have Mizzou, which, I mean, if quarterback one is solved and they can come in and complete passes, then you've got a moving offense. But then moving on to the back end of the SEC East, where obviously I think Florida is not going to be very good this year, especially after Emory Jones transferred, and then you have Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So
I guess the issue for Mizzou this year is, like, they got Georgia in Missouri. I don't think it matters.
If I
had to make a prediction. But, I mean, they got to go to Tennessee. They got to go to South Carolina. They got to go to Florida. So, you know, they're at that disadvantage there. They got Kentucky at home. I don't know that it matters. Once again, Kentucky's nowhere near as good as Georgia, obviously. But
still,
they're still real good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think Will Levis has got it. Like, he's going to be a draft pick.
Oh yeah, easily a first round draft pick. I mean we watched what Kenny Pickett go in the first round.
Yeah.
And there's no way that Will Levis is not better and has.
Yeah, if Will Levis had come out this year, he may have been the first QB in the draft.
He would have been. I think that's pretty fair to say. And then there's question number 8, and then we can move on to question number 9, which specifically coming to 2022, Oregon limited to football because it was a little bit open ended. But what game in 2022 are you most excited to cover?
I'd say Tennessee because it's, you know, close enough to my home. I'm from Nashville, so I could probably go see my family on that trip a little bit. And, you know, Neyland Stadium's a cool experience. So
right.
It could be fun to cover a game there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing against, like, covering games at Mizzou. It's just, like, you know, the travel's always, I think, part of what you look forward to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll be covering a ton of games at Furrow Field. But it's also nice to see how other cultures and how other SEC fan bases are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I can
also
speak.
Knoxville Elite Beer City. Got some good beers.
I'll write that down really quick.
All right.
But even just speaking from experience, I mean, when we went to Kansas to cover the border war, when it came back, I mean, that was just insane.
Yeah.
That was electric. That's beyond exactly what you look for in a college environment. And that's just college basketball. But when it comes to college football, I agree with you on that one. I think Neyland is a place that I have on my bucket list at least. So, and then that's number 9. And then number 10, this is a very interesting one. Because we know Tyler Beatty is a big Looney Tunes fan. And he ranked all the Looney Tunes characters from best to worst. I know you probably can't go through every single one of them because there's a lot of them.
No.
But can you rank them yourself in your own little way?
I'll give you a top 3 and then, like, a clearly the worst Looney Tunes character.
Go for it.
All right. So go top 3. Number, you want me to start 3?
Yeah, 3. 3 good one.
All right. I like Wile E. Coyote.
Okay.
You know, I've been kind of the Vanderbilt football of Looney Tunes characters, but, like, you know, impressive resilience. He never stops trying, even though, like, he should definitely be dead. After that, second, Bugs Bunny. I mean, it's pretty much the safe choice.
The Mickey Mouse of Looney Tunes.
Yeah, pretty much. It's real easy. Although, can I drop a hot take on this podcast? Space Jam. Not good. Not a good movie.
One or two.
Yeah, I didn't watch 2. Wasn't real impressed with 1. I may have been a little too young to, like, fully get 1. Because, like, there's people, like 7 years older than me who think it's, like, the pinnacle of cinema. But I don't like it at all.
And to continue off your hot take, I think Looney Tunes and Space Jam really took a different turn when I realized what the part it played into Michael Jordan's comeback after watching The Last Dance. So I have a newfound, weirdly, respect for it.
Yeah.
I am indifferent on that movie because it is a part of my childhood and I don't know how to feel about it sometimes.
Yeah.
But feel free to keep dropping hot takes if you have them.
All right. And number 1, Foghorn Leghorn.
Wow.
I just appreciate how he sounds. I've growing up in, you know, Tennessee, you meet a lot of Foghorn Leghorns. And
I'd imagine different shapes and sizes too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, they're not all giant chickens, but you know, on occasion, I'm not saying giant chickens don't exist.
I mean, if you find a giant chicken that talks, I mean, that would be something. But who's the worst? The absolute
Pepe Le Pew.
Oh,
like, I mean, in every episode, like, this skunk is just out here, like, is that committing crimes, really? And not even like fun crimes, like creepy crimes. So, yeah, I mean, this is an anti-Pepe Le Pew podcast, I think.
This is now Matt's podcast, and the number one rule is there is no Pepe Le Pew talk.
Yes.
Okay. And those are the 10 questions we wanted to get through. Thank you, everyone who submitted them. There were a lot of fun. There are a couple others that we'll probably get to a little bit in different capacities, too. One of them we can address right now, too, is not one for Matt specifically, but will I still cover Mizzou, women's basketball, and other sports? Yeah, I'm still involved. You're not going to get rid of me that easily. I still like dropping terrible columns, and Matt will probably get sick of me. But and we'll talk a little bit more about another question, which was, what did you think about the hirings and firings for SEC basketball? Additionally, how do you feel about Robin Pynchon's situation with Asia Blackwell transferring? We can go into that a little bit more, too. This person would like to hear both our takes on this, and this is something we'll get into when we come back.
So, John, question. With Auburn firing Gus Malzahn, it leaves Ed Orgeron as the SEC's only coach who has beaten Nick Saban. Who's going to be the next SEC coach to beat Saban?
Well, I don't think it'll be the guy that a lot of people think he will be, Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. I like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. He almost beat Saban last year, and he almost beat Saban when he was at Tennessee.
Fisher promised he was going to thump Saban's rump whenever Alabama comes to College Station. I think he's got a shot. He improved Texas A&M to 9-1 last year. He's got a national championship to his name. If Haynes King is the real deal, he's got an early opportunity in October to beat Nick Saban.
Look at Saban's track record for losses. It's usually to a great quarterback, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, or Joe Burrow. Matt Corral at Ole Miss, I think, could be the best quarterback in the league.
I'm Blake Topmeyer, and this is SEC Football Unfiltered, a new podcast from the USA Today Network. Each week, we'll discuss the hottest topics that matter to the passionate fan bases of the SEC. I've covered the SEC for 8 years. As for my co-host, longtime sports columnist John Adams, let's just say he's got a few decades on me.
Not as many decades as some people think. Contrary to popular opinion, I did not cover General Nealon, but I did interview Bear Bryant and I interviewed Nick Saban, and I covered Archie Manning and Peyton Manning.
More insightful interview, John. Bear Bryant, Archie Manning, Steve Spurrier, or Johnny Majors?
Gotta go with Steve Spurrier there. He's the great quipster.
SEC Football Unfiltered debuts this summer. Let John and I be your tour guides from the season opener through the national championship. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the intro episode with Matt Stahl. Welcome back, Matt.
Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you. We'll get into one of the questions that was submitted to us about women's basketball, one that I know we haven't addressed on this podcast yet just because we've kind of lapsed as we've waited for Matt to make his grand debut. But we'll also play Would You Rather, which is going into another part of the SEC where we had a very, very long offseason full of a lot of coaching changes, Mizzou being one of them. And we'll start with the situation when we talk about women's basketball, which is Asia Blackwell has left the program. She has transferred. She's going to Baylor. But not only has Asia Blackwell left, but Izzy Higginbottom has gone too. She has transferred to Arkansas State. LaDeja Williams is going to LSU. So Mizzou will play her at some point next season. And then you had Kaya DeRoe, a talented freshman who was a pretty good defensive player, didn't really get much playing time. She is going to Colorado State. So these four players are gone. Now, Mizzou has to obviously fill the void that each brought. Kaya obviously brought in a freshman presence, kind of future of the program. So did Izzy Higginbottom. So as a player who came in with offensive capabilities, I think she scored something like 57 points in a high school game in Batesville, Arkansas. But she also grew immensely as a defender. That's gone. The future of those next 3-4 years of those players are now gone, as well as LaDeja Williams, a reliable post presence who had probably one of the most old school post games, I think, in the SEC. Reliable too. Asia Blackwell is the biggest one. I mean, she was a star. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. That's I think it was like 15.3 points per game and like 13 rebounds per game, among the nation's leaders in both. I think what you can take away from the situation, and it's difficult, but it's not impossible. And I know we talked a little bit about the portal in the first part of the podcast too. So I'm interested in seeing what your thoughts are on this. Is, I mean, you have a star player that transfers out. How do you replace that player? Do you replace that, immediately go to the portal and say, well, here are two veteran players who played for, you know, maybe a star in a mid-major, or was a backup for a Power 5 program, an SEC program in this case, let's say. Would you rather replace it with the star at the mid-major level, or multiple players from the SEC level that, okay, now you're getting a chance to start?
See, I don't know that it's like, I don't know that I even go into it like thinking like that, you know? Like, all things being equal, like, I guess go mid-major star because they've proven they can, like, really do it. But, like, who fits your program better is, like, the true answer. Like, who fits your systems, what you're trying to do. Like, I don't just, like, go, like, oh, I mean, they were dropping, you know, 30 points a game at, you know, Western Kentucky, shout out the alma mater. Like, I don't do that. I try to, you know, what do they fit what we're trying to do? I think it's going to be that's the number one question.
Yeah. And obviously it's a little bit different too. Obviously it's not as cut and dry as, well, these players didn't like the program, they're out. I know, and you can think back to women's basketball and the program and what happened in the back end of the season, where this team upsets number one overall South Carolina at home, probably the biggest win for this athletic season here for Mizzou athletics. And then a month and a half later, you have four players who are cited for drug possession. And then you also have Asia Blackwell, who missed also another game and also was benched for, I believe it was the first half or the first quarter, came off the bench for not living up to the program standards set by Coach Robin Pinchton. And this is the kind of thing where it's like, well, what went wrong here? And to me, it's not as simple as a player got angry or a player got mad and decided to transfer out because they got in trouble. I don't think that was the case, only because I mean, sitting in the press conference after Mizzou lost to Drake in the WNIT, I mean, you're watching your star player audibly and physically just break down crying. You can see how much success meant to her, and it's a big reason why she transferred to Baylor. She just wants to go to an NCAA tournament, have that success. You can't fault that in a player. I don't think you can fault that in anybody, but and in this case specifically too, with Asia, with how good she is, I mean, she's going to do great things at Baylor. Melissa Smith was there for a long time. She's a great player now in the WNBA. But when you look at what she's going to bring to a Baylor, that matchup nightmare, which was why she was so good at Mizzou, the ability to shoot, the ability to rebound, to play in the post, but to also play in the mid-range as well. And I can't help but think that when the clock's ticking down against Drake, she has the ball in her hands. If that mid-range shot just sank and they move on to the WNIT, are they still there? Is she still a Mizzou Tiger? And the words of Kanye West, I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. Boy, Baylor also, they pulled Dre Edwards from Kentucky and another player whose name and school escapes me right at this second.
Yeah.
But, like, they're going to be, like, can we get some early odds on, like, Baylor Natty?
Like, I mean, it's up there with South Carolina, as much of the chagrin of Mizzou women's basketball fans who really just don't like Dawn Staley. It's up there. It's up there. And I'm thinking they're going to be a number one seed in the tournament next year if everything goes according to plan. Yeah. It's an interesting time for women's basketball because you have last year after the NCAA tournament with Mizzou basketball, there's a max exodus of players where you had Jeremiah Tillman, Drew Smith, Xavier Pinson, a lot of starters just decide, Mark Smith, another one, decide, okay, we're moving on from the program. And that led to what the season was last year, where you had a lot of mid-majors players come in and try to piece together a roster and hope you can hold on until the Aiden Shaw comes in and can team up with the Kobe Brown and say, okay, well, this is the team and this is the team we're going to roll with. But obviously it was the last season Konzo Martin coached in Columbia. But it's not the same because it was only four players and the heart, I would say the heart, but a good amount of the team is still there for women's basketball. Haley Troop is there at point guard, as well as Haley Frank, one of the best 3-point shooters in the nation. And now you're bringing in Avery Kroenke, who is a Rockbridge grad, kind of following in the Sophie Cunningham footsteps of part of, okay, well, she's a really good defensive player, and how is she going to make her mark at Mizzou basketball? And same with the rest of the class coming in. And I know Coach Pinchin kind of mentioned that they're going in the transfer portal, just like literally every other school in the nation at this point, too. So, but that kind of leads me into the next part of this question, or next part of the back end of the podcast, where I want to play Would You Rather.
All right.
And this is Would You Rather. One of the questions directed to us was, what did you think about the hirings and firings in SEC for basketball? To me, on both sides, I mean, when you watch Gary Barta leave Texas A&M for women's basketball and then get replaced by Joni Taylor from Georgia, where you have one SEC school poaches another SEC school's coach, you're like, okay, well, there is the power dynamic there. But for men's basketball, obviously, you had a lot of openings. And I'm going to miss a couple because it's been a long time. And they have all gotten filled since then. I believe it was LSU, Mizzou, Mississippi State. I want to say Florida, Georgia by default. And there's one more that I'm missing. And I do apologize. With so much turnover, with so much going on, and you having to pick a new coach for a program which is, or a conference which is extremely tough to win in, obviously with the Kentuckys all the way down, but would you rather poach an established mid-major coach who has gone to multiple NCAA tournaments, or would you rather give a Power 5 assistant coach their first full-time job, even though they haven't had the opportunity to lead a program before? Would you rather?
Once again, it depends, right? Like, where, like, if I'm, you know, there's a successful mid-major coach, but like he's so far outside like my region, you know, he's never recruited, and like, you know, I'm not gonna go like, oh, this guy's a successful coach out in like California, let's bring him to, you know, the middle of Alabama and see if it works. But at the same time, like, just because somebody's like, you know, in a Power 5 program, that's not necessarily going to be it either. Because, yeah, it's, I'm looking for who, once again, who's the best program fit, not to be the most like boring co-host on earth, but like, yeah, like, you know, the Kenny Payne hire at Louisville, like, he's not been that like level head coach before, but he's, you know, in the region, and it, you know, it aggravates your biggest rival. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's big, too. I think that's what I'm for. Like, whatever coaching option aggravates my biggest rival, like, makes the most, like, if you're Mizzou Kansas fans mad on the internet, like, that's what I'm going for. It's the final answer.
Okay. No, I actually, that's a good answer. I don't know how much Dennis Gates would upset Kansas fans at the moment.
No.
But
he should work on that.
I mean, he's got a pretty good chance this upcoming season when the Jayhawks come to Columbia for their second part of the border war. Obviously, Mizzou didn't fare so well the first time around in Lawrence, but the second time around, it's you never know. I mean, it's different. I don't know if Kansas will have the same level of talent that they had from their national champion team that just won the title, what, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But Mizzou is also much, much, much more improved. How improved? We don't know.
Yeah.
But you can. There's two more spots to fill. Yeah. So
Chris said he was thinking national title. If they don't win the national title, tweet it, Chris.
Yeah, at @OchoK_. Please send me all that you got. I love hate tweets.
No. If you don't like anything I wrote, tweet at Chris.
That's true.
It's his fault.
That is true. Technically his editor. So, but that, I think, is all we've got for this edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. From now on, Matt's going to be taking the reins. He's going to be coming up with the ideas. He's going to have a lot of fun with this, and I hope that you stick around and listen to what he's got, because it's going to be a fun time. It's a fun time in the Columbia Daily Tribune. We're going to move on and move towards the 2022 football season, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. I'll see you then.